Yeah. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, you know, Dr. Tim Slecker. And oh my, on Fridays, of course, the Jacob, the chairman of the board.
The Jacob.
The Jacob.
I'm like Ohio State.
The Jacob, chairman of the board. Yeah, it's Friday. And you know what that means? It is Jacob takes over the show and interviews Tim and Johnny. And Tim and Johnny get to be guests on their own show. It's got to be one of the few shows out there where the hosts of the show get to be interviewed on their own show. Jacob, right?
I think so. I've looked it up. I've checked the internet. I asked Claude, and he couldn't find any examples of this.
And not only do we get interviewed, it's in this always entertaining game show-esque format. So it's a pretty exciting Friday every time we get to drop this. So, man, let's do it. Let's buckle in and go for this week's producer's choice.
Let's do it. Jacob.
Let's not waste any time.
For choo-choo producer, Jacob's choice, chairman of the board.
Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow!
Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
Tim, Johnny, yes. As always, thank you so much for being here on your own show. I know it's not easy, but you guys, I mean, somehow you managed to make it here every Friday, and I love that.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. Jacob, it's a highlight of the week. We're wrapping things up here.
Johnny couldn't miss it, and as people know, Thursday nights, man, I sit in bed and wonder and ponder, drink lots of water and sweat, wondering what is Jacob going to bring to me on Friday? Oh, I don't know, Jacob. I might be ready.
Well, I brought some good ones this week, as always, but I feel like for the people watching the video, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Johnny's got some shades on today.
Yeah, well, you know what they say.
Are you just feeling dangerous today?
Yeah, it helps me dial in, helps me be ready. It's a Friday thing, man. It's a, you know, it's been a week. It's been a busy one. And we are full swing back into, you know, life on campus, in the classroom, in meetings, and all the stuff that, you know, goes with being an educator. But Jacob, too, it's also a holiday weekend. So this is full Friday mode right now. That's what we're going for.
I got, you know, though, Jacob, with Johnny sunglasses, I'm going to probably claim this as a truth, and I'm going to have Johnny verify. ZZ Top probably would not endorse those sunglasses, would they, Johnny?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh, I think I stumped him on that one.
Yeah.
Those are not cheap sunglasses, are they?
I mean, relative. They're mid-range. They're knockoffs, so.
I know, but I'm saying Lupinacci, man. You don't, the ZZ Top song, cheap sunglasses. Corey Hart, I wear my sunglasses at night. Well, and
it's night. So I mean, I'm aligned with that. Like, I'm not familiar with the ZZ Top song. I know is that the one? I wear my sunglasses.
That's Corey Hart. Yeah. And then you got the, you know, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades.
Well, that's the truth always, man.
Anyway, sorry, Jacob. It's your show, man.
I need to remember that usually on this show, I come with like three total questions and it takes 58 minutes to get through it. So I need to stop asking ancillary questions and just get into the meat of our topic. Tim, Johnny, when we think about education, we usually think about two types of people, teachers and students.
Sure.
Now, today's guests, you guys, have played both of these roles at different points in their lives, and we've talked about them both here on the show. But there's a third role in education, folks, that Drs. Tim and Johnny have experienced. And we're going to talk about that today.
Parents are the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
That's what? Right. We're going to talk about parents today.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yep.
Folks, you can't have a show about education without talking about parents. So today, I want to start things off by asking you fellas this simple question, and we'll start with Johnny. Johnny, what has the role of a parent in education meant to you?
Jacob, you know, this is an interesting one, especially being an educator myself and then being like a teacher educator locally and, you know, someone who's pretty active in the schools and, you know, done some work with the school board and the superintendent's office. So it's been, you know, sometimes a one of blurred lines, because I think as a parent, you know, you want to be involved, but you don't want to be over involved. And then when you wear many hats, like I'm wearing one of my camo hats today, but when you play different roles in the community, I mean, for me, it's been one of not overstepping too much, because, you know, when you go into the school or the classroom and you're the former teacher and teacher educator locally, you know, you don't want it to like be like, hey, this guy comes in and demands, you know, we switch the curriculum or we change X, Y, and Z. So for me, it's been one of, you know, being involved, but not being over involved, like stepping back sometimes when, you know, the urge is to kind of get right in there, be like, well, you know, best practices for teaching math, or, you know, the best way to do reading groups really is, you know, I try not to, you know, I don't know, you know, in general life, they call that mansplaining, right? I don't know what the what the term we'd have to coin one, like educator splaining, you know, or proffing, we call it that. Like I try not to be the professor in education in the schools, just be a parent, not be a former teacher. But I think that's one that also has given me a lot of empathy and understanding for, you know, supporting teachers when my kids come home and say, I got this stupid homework assignment. It's like, well, you know, maybe it's not so stupid. Or if it is, you know, biting my tongue and being like, ah, well, what do you think about that assignment? So it's been one of being supportive of teachers, being involved in my kids' education, but also, you know, trying to step back and let other parents, you know, fit in and fill in. And at times it's meant being a substitute teacher in the schools, although my kids like have vetoed that in recent years. it might be coming back, because there's always a high need. And I love to teach. So if I can lend a hand and volunteer in those capacities, it's been fun to be part of that. But otherwise, you know, it's the same as most parents out there. I just try and, you know, be involved and follow the lead. I always approach it like this. Again, I have some layers of experience on the teaching end of this, but you know, I always like to say, you know, like we're partnering here as educators in these kids' lives. So, you know, complementing what's happening at school, at home, you know, and trying not to undo or redo everything at home. It's like, I've learned for a few early years, the kids were homeschooled. And so that was always kind of an interesting and fun thing too. But no, I mean, that's a complicated version of, you know, trying to not do too much, but then not do too little. So fitting in between there where I can.
Johnny, if you were a parent wrestler, I think your name would be the Flying Buttress, because you're on the outside, but you're providing support for the structure there. And I think that's perfect. And I can see that's why you wore the sunglasses.
I got my inspiration as a young person in Paris, admiring the architecture of the Notre Dame.
It came down to the gargoyle or the flying buttress. And you, frankly, you chose wrong, but we support your decisions.
Yeah.
Tim, same question to you. What has the role of a parent in education meant to you?
You know what? Believe it or not, I my sense is that people would be like, I bet Tim's like the teacher terror.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, man. You gotta,
you know, but actually, I do the same thing though too, is try to provide support, interpretation. You know, one of the things my kids, I'm sure, would tell you is that it's not that they haven't heard me do a lot of criticism of teaching and education, and therefore they themselves, when they've been in school and kind of come back and go, but Dad, it was like you said the other night when you were talking to Uncle Dave. And that's where I'm kind of like, uh-oh. I'm like, man, I don't want to dig on the teacher, but boy, my kids kind of got me on that one. So I've actually taken those moments too where I'm just like, I really don't necessarily agree with what's going on. And I've tried to help my son and daughter over the time actually then figure that out on their own and give them strategies for how to go in and they themselves kind of address the teacher from a standpoint of, you know, I was wondering about, can you help me explain? Would there be another possibility that maybe I could do something other than what you've assigned? The result of that is sometimes they are, you know, supported. Other times the teacher's like, no. And then they come home and go, Dad, I need you to go in now. And that's where it's just like, you know, I kind of do what Johnny is there too, is go, you know what? No, you know, you might have to live with this one, but it doesn't mean you're wrong. And I think that's it. It's just like, okay, you got to hold that and realize that what you as my son or as my daughter and what we talk about, what we understand is, you know, typically we're advocating for the absolute best all the time. And the reality is that no single teacher can ever do that. And sometimes, you know, we all run into that position. And so as a teacher, you know, I've dealt with the parent to come in and say, Tim, we hate what you're doing in the classroom with this book parade type of stupid book report where he's got to decorate a wagon and then bring it in. And it's just like, we don't have time for that crap. And you know what? At the time, I was like, but it's the most awesome activity ever. But I will say, as a parent now too, yeah. I'm kind of like, man, I hate those assignments, man. Because, you know, I know what that father was saying. I didn't have kids at that time. But what that father was saying is, you just gave me a big homework assignment. So I don't know, put it that way. But it is an interesting kind of sometimes, you know, holding your tongue. And then other times, you know, supporting your child in a way that actually empowers them how to bring issues like this forward in a way that isn't confrontational, but really is from a problem solving standpoint. And then also then sometimes just kind of going like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to accept the way it is and you got to move forward. So I don't know. That's either a wishy-washy answer or truthful.
So Johnny's sort of the Ric Flair of parents, and Tim, you're kind of the George W. Bush of parents. I'm sure you appreciate that comparison. But what I mean by that is we all remember when George Bush stopped being president, he said, you know, being president's really hard, so I'm not going to criticize any other presidents after me. And he's sort of stuck to that. So I see that in you where you're like, hey, being a teacher's pretty hard. I'm not going to kind of add to the trouble by nitpicking everything and trying to get in on that problem.
Sure. I don't know that I've ever been, side by side with George W. Bush because, well, I love it though.
In a very positive way though, Tim.
You know what though? Give me a pair of jeans and a chainsaw and I'll get down in that ditch and cut some wood just like George W. did.
All right. That'll be at the Busted Pencils meetup down at Crawford. Mm-hmm, yes. We're going to have a great time. But Tim, you broached something that I also wanted to talk about, and you guys maybe can have a dialogue back and forth on this, but if you're a parent and you have a concern about your child's education, whether it's something like, oh, I didn't, this assignment seemed weird, or I thought my kid was, oh, they're being unfair, or whatever it is, there's any number of things that come up where you might have a disagreement with a parent and a teacher. What is the right way to deal with that problem? How do you talk to a teacher about it? Or what do you do to be constructive and appropriate in dealing when those frictions come up?
I'll give you.
You're both scratching your heads literally right now, by the way. So is that a really hard question?
Well, no, I just shaved my head. Good one. I shaved my head this morning, and I got a little stubble coming in. I was just kind of feeling it. I'll give you an example that I think was very kind of like okay, both ways. My son came home with a writing assignment. With a lot of red marks on it. And he was very disappointed because he felt that he had worked really hard at putting together this essay. This essay was, and this is fifth grade, you know, so they were teaching him how to write a paragraph, not the five paragraph essay. Fifth grade, you learn to write the paragraph, which will later then be added four more to make the five paragraph essay, but this is the paragraph. And he was upset because he started his paragraph with woohoo exclamation point. and Johnny's heard this story, and you know, I kind of was like, yeah, I get it. And there were some things going on, and I said, so why don't we go in and meet with your teacher? And I said, you know, when we get there, I'm going to have you, Luke, explain to her what it is that you feel is incorrect about the way she graded your paper. And we came in and, you know, said, I'm not going to say the teacher's name, but Mrs. So-and-so, Luke wanted to ask you a question about this paper. And boy, things moved quickly. She was like, wait, no. Luke, are we talking about that paper? Oh, yeah. Luke, go ahead, read your paragraph. And Luke, you know, kind of like, woohoo, let me tell you about my best vacation with my family. Luke, tell your parents what's wrong with that opening. Woohoo is not a sentence, and I didn't repeat back the prompt in the form of a sentence to begin the paragraph. And she went, see, he knew how to do the assignment the right way. He decided to not do it the right way. And that's when I, actually my wife, give her, kind of bristled up and went, but he showed excitement and really enjoyed, well, Tim and Michelle, if he does that on the No Child Left Behind Pennsylvania State System of Assessment test, he's going to get a failing grade, and that's going to make the classroom in the school look bad. So he needs to learn how to write for the test. And that led to us going, okay, great. He won't be taking the test then. And so there began the opt-out movement. So I, you know, that's an example of kind of going in with the intentions to say, Luke, we're going to have a discussion, and then watching it go south pretty quickly. And, you know, I don't know if that's an illustration of good or bad behavior, but it's an illustration of a reality that actually happened.
I think that did not go well. Because your story ends with a revolution you started because the system wasn't working.
Yeah. I would say, Tim, I'm much more of the here's how I approach it. And I tell teachers this that I'm working with that are becoming teachers, and you know, I don't have to spell it out and say it to my kids' teachers, but I say it's kind of like it's a branch of parenting. It's like co-parenting, and it's like you're adults with an interest, a shared interest in this young person. So I'm big on team sports, you know, coach of a hockey team, and we're a unified front. And when I meet early with teachers, kind of figure out, okay, what's the plan? And And so I tend to ally more with the teachers at first until I have more information, you know, because you're both right in my assessment on the outside. Like, the teacher's not wrong and you and Michelle aren't wrong, right? Like, yes, you want your son to be excited about writing and he started a paragraph with one word and an exclamation point. Which even as an editor now, I have to like reach out to authors and say like, you can't start your article this way. Like you can show excitement in other forms. And so there's a learning kind of moment in both. So I tend to, you know, take the approach of like, hey, we're in this together. You know, and then when we're not agreeing, you know, kind of like in teams, like if the coaching staff's not quite in agreement or, you know, internally the grownups need to figure out some things and gather some more information, you know, before it trickles down or you end up on a kind of a what comes next. But I'm always a big one, Jacob, with it. If you do have one of those issues, like Tim came up with, like you said, like have a conversation. There should always be an open kind of door between, you know, teachers and listen. And if you're a parent out there listening, like go to the teacher, like every teacher I've ever met, like even when we bemoan about like, oh man, parents, oh geez, you know, it's just sometimes we grumble about it. But when it comes down to it, that's ideal for you to go to the parent. Don't run to Facebook and make a post about it. You know, don't take it to social media, you know, have a little filter system as a grown-up where you take in, get information. Get your kid's story, right? You want to hear like, you know, what's their experience? Like Tim and Michelle both understood that their son was excited and that's why he wanted to start his essay. And they also knew like he knew the right answer. So they're not like, well, you know, son, you need to learn to write a sentence. They know he knows how to write a sentence. So they're gathering information from their students, you know, your child's perspective. And then we take the time like Tim and Michelle did to get the information from the teacher. Like, hey, we meet, have a meeting when you have some time this week, talk about an assignment. You know, I just want to learn more about how to support, you know, my child in the classroom. And I've yet to be that teacher or meet a teacher who's like, no, we're not meeting. You know, we're not going to talk about this. So, 'cause you're coming together to kind of, you know, co-invest in the development of this young person and then kind of gather the information. And again, I'll say just like breathe and figure out how to support your child like Tim and Michelle did. Like they didn't say, son, you're wrong, right? They're like, okay, this is life. You're going to have to learn sometimes that there are rules about things you need to know how to do. And, you know, your teacher's responsible for making sure you know how to do them. Now, sometimes we know as your parent that you can do that and that you were excited to do it differently. We're going to support you when you make those choices too. But in a sense, for me, the way I approach it is like both can be right. Mm-hmm. And those are on sort of the middle ground things. I'm not saying like I've fortunately not been in this situation, but I've talked to friends who are parents of kids who, you know, their kids are experiencing something that no child should ever experience. And there are times when teachers can be wrong. And I think the best way to approach that is also to have a conversation with the teacher to better understand the intent, to better understand like what's going on. Because if that's the case, then, you know, you do need to take action to, you know, not only believe your kid, but advocate for them in those cases where they may be, you know, wronged in school. But more often than not, I would say like 99 out of 100 times, you know, it's just one of those instances where like, the teacher is going to, you know, it's going to improve things to have that conversation and better understand how both parties can support going forward.
Wow. I'm not sure if I got handed my butt on that one or Johnny. No, okay, so here's
Tim,
my...
Tim comes in, he's like, this is why my kids aren't taking tests.
You know what? Okay, though, here's the... I just thought of this, though, as we were going through that. Had that teacher not stood her ground, there would be no busted pencils.
There you go, man.
So there you go, right?
I'm sure she went straight from teaching paragraphs to teaching the butterfly effect. because you never know what's going to come of these things.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's Jake. Jacob's got a good point. I know a lot of friends. I have a lot of, like, Tim, you and I, as educators, as teacher educators, as people in schools, you know, we're familiar with this process of, like, having these conversations, of having meetings, of teachers wanting to assume best. I think that's a good quality to have in life, right? Like, assume best. Like, the intent is that we're co-investing in young people learning. And so we can have that. But that's because we're culturally familiar with how schools work.
Right.
So I love that question, Jacob, because there's listeners out there. Well, maybe you're listening to Busted Pencils. You're also an educator. So you're like in our club. But the idea is, like, a lot of people I talk to, whether I'm at, like, a hockey game, you know, in the locker room with the guys, or, you know, out on the golf course, you know, I'll get a question like, hey, this is happening in my daughter's class. What would you do? And most often I say, hey, you and your partner go sit down with the teacher. Like, say, hey, let's talk, because we're co-invested in this young person. You know, I said, you know, lead with good intentions, like, assume good intentions. That helps set, you know, I'm also, like, relentless positivity guy. That's my coaching strategy. So I'm also like, hey, when I go in and talk to a teacher, like, hey, I'm assuming, you know, we both really care a lot about my daughter or my son, right? And they're going to say, yeah, of course. Like, okay, so now I'm setting the table for a good, productive conversation. But listener out there, that's an important question that Jacob asked. It's an easy one for Tim and I, because we've done it probably 100 times. Right. But the idea being, like, not everybody knows that's how it works, or it can work. Right. That's why I said, don't go to Facebook and vent. Right. Don't go, like, don't take it to that level. Right. No. Don't dare I say Karen out, like, 5 minutes after your, like, 11-year-old tells you the business of what's happening in school. Now, I'm not saying don't believe your 11-year-old, but, like, take in information, give it some space. And yeah, it's not always second nature to every parent out there that, like, part of this is you're kind of invited to have conversations with your kid's teacher.
Johnny, I would, yeah, that advice too, from the standpoint of going, you know, because I've talked to, you know, some parents are like, oh man, I don't want to talk to the teacher. You know, they're not teachers. They weren't in it. Their last experience with teachers was, you know, as themselves, as a student. And they're kind of going in there and, you know, slightly intimidated even sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, and I would say for the parent, the advice is to go, hey, you know what, being on the teacher side of that, those times with experiences with parents, I'm also kind of, you know, nervous, worried. And so think about that. It's two people kind of coming together. And as Johnny said, to discuss the importance of how to best support, from the teacher standpoint, a student in front of them, and from the parent, their child. And so together, you know, this is where you can really make some real magic happen. And so that, you know, yeah.
And you can learn a lot. Like, every teacher out there who's done this knows, like, you learn different dimensions to a kid, right? You know, because you have now a different set of eyes who spends time with this young person outside of school, who can say things like, you know, Tim and Michelle were able to say, like, my son can write a sentence. You know, he was really excited. Like, you kind of help co-learn more about the student. And it really, as a teacher, from the teacher end, it helps the educator better understand how to be a better teacher for that student when those meetings happen.
Well, Tim, you're talking about the flip side of that. And that's my last regulation question here.
Okay.
For the Producer's Choice Show. I want to ask you guys, because I'm thinking about, if I was a new teacher, one of the things that would really kind of make me nervous or anxious is how you handle the other side of that situation. I mean, if you're a teacher and you have issues with a parent, and it could be from serious things, like you think there's trouble at home, or to more simple things like, hey, I send these notes back and I kind of get blown off by the parent. How do you handle that? What advice do you have for teachers when dealing with issues with a student's parent in your class?
Well, you just gave, you know, the kind of the the spectrum of interactions that you can have with a parent, from very supportive, very irate, also sometimes not really sure of exactly what's happening. And as a teacher, I think your best bet is to kind of assume a stance of saying, my goal here is going to be to come out of this conversation, this interaction, with, hopefully agreeing on going forward with some kind of a pathway that's best. And that may even mean some kind of be willing to compromise, move a little. And I think, said this is to really hear a parent and to kind of see it as an opportunity to learn something about that child that you maybe didn't know, because guess what? You probably didn't. And that is, and there's a humbleness. And then here's the, and with an irate parent, you hold calm, don't lose it. Take a deep breath, let them vent, say that's noted. And, potentially even say, hey, I appreciate, be hard to say, I appreciate what you're saying. In fact, though, I think maybe at this point, let's go down and you can talk to the principal, because I think at this point you need to meet with the principal, because there's nothing I can do. So,
there's my
advice.
Similar, Jacob. I think you're asking this for like the teacher, like from the teacher perspective, but I'll kind of give both ends of it. Sometimes we're, as parents, we're just really busy, and some parents more busy than others. And so, if you reach out and like maybe from the teacher end, you want, we're saying ideally have these conversations and, work together. There's a balance. You don't want to do it too often. You don't want to only do it when there's a problem, but you don't want to all the time require. I mean, parents have to go to jobs. There's a reason they're not school teachers.
Yeah.
Right. They're going somewhere to do what there is. So you kind of don't want to be overly relying on parent involvement, but you want some. And we're saying parent, parent, parent. I would like extend that out there, that kind of the goal, whether it's your school administrator, your school counselor, like the team of adults who are investing in that young person's development, the goal is to have some representative from that child's life outside of school as part of things too. It could be a grandparent. It could be, an aunt, an uncle, an older sibling, a godparent. There's all kinds of ways. Sometimes you have to learn and ask, like, hey, who's your go-to? Like, who's helping you outside of school? And not everybody has that help. So that's another good, way we learn about the lives our kids are living. Maybe they are, strongly recommended to our counselor to get them, connected to like Big Brothers and Big Sisters programs and different ways, after school programs where they can get some homework support or meet with, a lot of different programs in our schools that help kids, with homework or become advocates for their education, or another teacher. I've been in those boats where I say, hey, I noticed like, who can I talk to in this school to better learn about how to teach you, right? And they'll say, oh, Miss So-and-so, that's my favorite teacher. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, great. We're just looking for that adult who also helps advocate for a child's education. But Tim hit the nail on the head. Sometimes people come in a little bit heavy, I got this big problem or anything. My advice to new teachers especially, but all veteran teachers too, just reaffirming what they probably already do and know, is you're not alone. And you're not in your classroom, and you're not going to be able to solve necessarily an angry parent. So if you do have that kind of escalated thing, I would say, like Tim mentioned at the end of his response, right? Involve your principal from go. And in fact, if you were like Jacob, you said you might reach out as a teacher and not hear anything. Well, that's kind of like usually a green light to the educator to reach out to school counselor and to the principal and like other teachers and say, hey, I noticed so-and-so, I've reached out and I haven't really heard anything. What were your experiences? What are you doing? And every school leader I know, their goal is to also make sure that there's good communication between whoever's advocating and part of a child's learning outside of school is also, in some communication with the folks in school. So the principals and school counselors and the leadership teams in every school, they have like a protocol and a familiarity with like, hey, think we're gonna call together a meeting. So maybe too many meetings isn't working, but one good check-in where we can kind of figure some of these things out all together. So you're not alone, teacher out there, where, you know, it's a tall ask to say, well, parent involvement or, you know, outside of school involvement is ideal. And every teacher's like, yeah, good luck. Cause like Tim said, you get a wide array. And I would encourage you not to, like, it's hard to do. Tim's going to agree with me on this probably. It's hard as a teacher, you know, not to move to judgment quickly in that, right? Mm-hmm. Try and just stay understanding and gathering information. Right. Cause you never know. Maybe someone's working four jobs. That's not uncommon these days. Right. Maybe there's a lot, like, time is really, really hard to free up. Right. And so, you know, there are a lot of factors. Maybe somebody doesn't quite speak English that good. And they're, you know, not, you know, they're not as comfortable having those meetings or, you know, going to those spaces. Maybe their citizenship is precarious and coming to the school is actually dangerous to their family. So just be patient, hold an open mind, right? And invite involvement, but work with your school team to learn about and gather information about, hey, who are the folks that come together to support these young people we're investing in?
So Tim, you said something very similar to a lot of what Johnny said. The idea that you go into these meetings with parents or these interactions with parents, and you keep in mind that you have this common goal. You want to do right by their kid. You want to help them get a good education. But at some point, sometimes there are situations where you've got 20 to 30 kids. That means you've got 40 to 60 parents. And it runs the gambit, all sorts of different people. And sometimes a situation gets to a point where it might be not something you can fix yourself. Right. I want to ask you guys this question. And I know we've been here for a long time, but if... And I know there's it's a diverse question because it's different in every situation. But if you're, say, you're a 24-year-old woman in New York, you just graduated with your educator's degree and you're licensed, and you're applying in Oklahoma to become a teacher, and you just finished taking your loyalty test to make sure you can get that job, and you're nervous about these interactions you'll have with parents, what do you guys think a fair rule of thumb is to say, okay, at what point do I need to talk to my wider team, get the principal involved or my counselor? You know, what is that point? What does that look like after the initial attempts?
I if we're talking about the New York teacher going to Oklahoma, I'm like, don't talk to your principal. You need to go right to the state superintendent for all issues. you know what? I would answer that with this kind of, you know, it's more of have that conversation with your principal, the counselor, the support people in your building to kind of ask and say, you know, is there a threshold where you would like to see your teachers say, hey, you know, right now we're discussing something that I need to move to my principal, to the school guidance counselor. Because I think that also is because sometimes those, you know, mentors, support staff, or supervisors can have a real clarity of saying, like, look, when it gets to this point, this is when you need to disengage and, you know, calmly and gently invite the parent to, you know, move, you know, up the ladder. Because I don't know when you get there. What I would say is when you are really starting to feel uncomfortable, or if you really think the meeting is not productive, and again, you know, hold tight, keep your cool, and be okay. This is what I would say. Be okay with not being able to be the one to figure out the right way forward. Be okay with saying, you know what, I don't think we're able to get to an understanding here. I think maybe this would be good if maybe me, you, and our principal had a conversation. And that would be is the thing, because, you know, don't feel like you're in there and going like, I'm on this on my own and I got to get this. You know, ask for support. Maybe the other thing too is kind of stop the conference right at that moment and walk out and see if there's another teacher colleague in there that, you know, can maybe come in. And again, not to present as a ganging up situation on the parent, but to potentially offer someone to listen to that parent who they, even your colleague, might have a different way of helping interpret what's going on. So
I really love about that, Tim, is the idea that rather than waiting until you get to whatever threshold you think you might need to start having these conversations, just start off with, hey, I've talked to my team. I know when they think I should talk to them or what we're doing, what our principal thinks. Get the team involved from the beginning. Not, you know, they don't have to be directly involved with the parent, but have dialogue. Talk to the people you work with. I do like that aspect of it. And I think that's a good thing for young teachers who might be intimidated to keep in mind. It's okay to ask those questions and kind of talk to people on your team there. Johnny, what are your thoughts?
Oh, man. I mean, I just think it's always, I mean, I think we're getting into this in a way where it's just like, have some humility, have some, you know, have some shared responsibility that it's like you said, it's going to be done differently. It's not going to be done perfectly. Like no one's the perfect parent. No one's the perfect teacher, but you come together to do the best you can and you bring in expertise. And that's something too, I always like to remind folks going into this is, you know, teachers aren't necessarily expert parents. I mean, especially when we're young, we haven't even had kids yet.
Especially you know? When we're you not know? Parents.
Right. And so like going and know, like they're going to be highly knowledgeable in maybe like child development or in like, you know, particular strategies for teaching kids skills, but you also know your kids the best. Right. So I love that, you know, that always that constant reminder to go in and share sort of co-investment, co-responsibility and bring your strengths, you know, to what kids are going to get by being in school all this time and then how it's supported outside of school and how all the way around these kids are experiencing great upbringing. So, you know, that's me. I'm a optimist though. I know it's much harder. It's easier for me to say than it is to do. It's complicated and it's cumbersome, but it's all about community. We talk about public schools being the bedrock of democracy. Democracy is tough. Democracy is messy. Democracy is relational. It's about having conversations. It's about coming together. So the more our schools can be those spaces, the easier and more familiar we are with talking with one another, with supporting one another. I mean, that's a long me on the soapbox too, but it doesn't help that constantly in the media, you know, that liberal media, as I sound like, you know, one of those ultra left wingers, which I probably am, but, you know, I like to pick on them too. But, you know, don't buy into the teachers are our enemies. You know, most teachers are not set up to like think you're wrong as a parent. So your instinct is value. Your input is valued. And same with kids. They have a voice and their experience matters, right? And if a teacher isn't on board with that, let the principal figure that stuff out. You know, but start with the teacher because most of us, that's what we came to do this, you know, for, to work together, to invest in young people.
Tim.
Getting choked up. It's an emotional topic for me.
I know that underneath those sunglasses, your eyes are welling up. I understand.
I'm crying, man. Crying. It's a special thing, man. Having kids, whether they're in your classroom or in your home.
I've got you. Dr. Johnny, Dr. Tim. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've asked all of my primary questions, but as you may have heard, if you've seen the show before, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Producer's Choice show, but I like to do one final question at the end of the show. Yeah! And this week, guys,
let's go.
I'm going to give you guys a soapbox. Johnny Lupinacci, you're a parent and a teacher. Can you shout out your kids for us, please? Don't yell at them. I mean, say something nice about them is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, man. I'm lucky.
I know you like them.
Yeah, I do. I like them most of the time. You know, I got two great kids, daughters. I don't talk a lot about it on here because I'm a pretty private guy, but they're pretty amazing students, great learners, great kids. You know, one's starting high school this year, and then the other one's going into fourth grade. And, you know, they couldn't be more different than their dad's experience in school. And that's always quite a blessing because conferences, I hear wonderful things about them. And I always tell them stories, you know, when I would have conferences coming up, I knew the next 3 months I was going to be in a lot of trouble. So world of difference of, you know, their experience in school, and they've had some really amazing teachers. So they've been really lucky too. So, you know, we're happy to keep being a part of this.
So overall, thumbs up or thumbs down? You're a fan of?
I mean, most of the time, thumbs up.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. And same question to you, Tim. It's not really a question. It's just an opportunity to say nice things about your children.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Luke, man, woohoo, dude. And fifth grade, now 26 years old, living in Michigan. Great kid, probably one of the most gentle, but yet compassionate and just, you know, great, trustworthy kid. And despite the fact that he had to deal with a dad who sometimes was a little bit more ornery in those frames, but, you know, great kid. And then Lacey, you know, hey, guess what? In fifth grade, she went to the school board in the school she was in and actually advocated to have high stakes tests thrown out, did that at a public meeting. So, again, a great advocate herself, and, but two kids who really continue to just be amazing people, as they are now young adults. So, I don't know, their mother did something right.
Well, Tim, Johnny, thank you so much for being here. Woohoo indeed. And Tim, I believe we've got time for one last thing.
Well, now it's time for your moment of zen. Now go out and get yourself some big black frames with the glass so dark they don't even know your name. And the choice is up to you because they come in two classes, rhinestone shades or cheap sunglasses. Oh, wait, that was ZZ Top. Zen. Oh, Howard Zinn. I suppose that it might be considered an unprofessional thing for a historian to write a history that somebody else interprets as a call to action. But to me, the historian is a citizen before he is a historian.
Hey, thanks for listening to Tim share lyrics and drop wisdom from Howard Zinn. But especially thank you for, you know, downloading and listening to this episode, Busted Pencils, Jacob Producer's Choice. Remember to grab great podcasts that are packed full of all kinds of Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, you can always get it at the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't you dare next week be late for homeroom on Monday, and make sure that you grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. And you can always catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.